Good to be here. My wife and I spent a week in Seattle, where our son, maybe more importantly, our granddaughter lives. We also visited the two adults we allow to take care of her. That's good. Somebody said it doesn't always rain in Seattle, but it's always wet. That was our experience this last week. It is good to be home. Father, just thank you for the day. We're going to talk about you for a while. Lord, I pray our hearts are open, our ears are open, Lord, our eyes are open, and you speak into our lives something of value. We just appreciate, Lord, the immediacy of your presence, and we bless you and bless these people in Jesus' name. Excuse me if I'm... also got something else in Seattle, a little gift. We all know how this works on New Year's. We all concentrate on making this clean break with the past year and making a better year ahead. It's a great time to start to measure something better for tomorrow. It's an honest intention. It's a goodwill intention to make the year ahead better than it was, which usually means that we're going to stop wasting some time, which usually comes in the form of some bad habits. Am I hitting home? Mostly what it means is we're going to behave for the first week of January. Not much else. But this time of year, time concerns us. Time, in fact, always concerns us. It's one of those things that it insinuates itself into every human enterprise, into every human plan, into every conversation, into relationship. Time is at the center of our existence, isn't it? And it's a basic building block of all that we do. There's always a time element in what we do. Every endeavor, every man, every woman, every child, there's an element in it. For some of us, we are maybe possibly because of our age group more aware of time than others are. I am much more aware now than I was 30 years ago of what time can do and what time can't do. Time concerns us and it brings us back all the time. It's in our conversations. I started doing this a couple of weeks ago. Just phrases and idioms that sneak into our conversations that have to do with time. And I left it to time alone. And here's my list. You probably, I had several people come up with them as I went out that I did not have on my list, but listen to my list. Excuse me. This is going to be over for you in just a moment. And over for me. Okay, here's my list. Redeeming time, that's what we're talking about today, so I started there. It's time sensitive. As time goes by, it's crunch time, it's game time, it's a good time, it's high time, free time, down time, big time, spare time, just in time, time off, kill time, save time. It was a hard time. It's just a matter of time. We're on borrowed time. It's a waste of time. It's prime time. It's Miller time. When the time is ripe, no time like the present. Time and again, time after time. Time is money, nick of time. Make time, time and a place for everything. It's a race against time. It's about time, all in good time. Time will tell. Thief of time, time flies. Stitch in time saves nine. Time and tide waits for no man. Behind the times, that's me. Time heals all wounds. Third time's a charm, all the time. Turn back the hands of time. It's good time, Charlie. Stand the test of time. It's a time bomb. Time's up. Wasting time. I'm out of time. I mean, it's in everything we do. Time is what we want most, but what we use the worst, William Penn wrote. Time. See, it's really easy to... to realize the passing of time at this point. Like I said, we were with our granddaughter. Nothing quite reminds you. We became her caretakers for a week while our kids were at work, so she didn't have to go to daycare. We double-teamed the kid, and she still wore us out. You know, it's like this guy. I understand this guy right here. Going to bed early, not leaving my house, not going to a party. My childhood punishments have become my adult goals. I might add to that, go take a nap. That would be my addition to that list. See, we've borrowed a phrase from the Latin, carpe diem. How many of you know that phrase? Carpe diem, seize the day. Actually, Homer, the Roman poet, used that phrase first. And in my generation, as I think a generation's passed, but it really came into some use, got some traction about the time I was entering college. And we like that seize the day idea because it became a war cry for our generation. But what we meant by it was life is short. Let's go for it. Let's live it up. Let's party. Don't waste this opportunity. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. YOLO. You only live once. Yeah. And so it was this thing that we never used it to mean, let's use time, let's redeem the day to use the moment to produce something that's lasting. See, instead, we transformed carpe diem into a justification, a rationale to do what we want, when we want, with whom we want it, as long as we want, and release ourselves from obligation and consequences. Folks, I don't know who's been talking to you, but there's no way you can release yourself from obligation and consequences. But that was our cry, carpe diem. The Bible talks about carpe diem. Not exactly in that phrase, to seize the day. The day, the phrase actually means pluck the day because it's ripe, which I like, kind of like that better. But it's this idea that somehow that carpe diem makes time mine to use as I please, and time became sort of a synonym for freedom. I could use my time as I want. You can't tell me what to do. And we began to misunderstand that God created time. He gave it to us as a gift, as a framework in which we could live and measure, wherein things that were bad could be changed. You following me? We use the phrase, you know, this carpe diem, seize the day. We use the phrase without realizing that there's something kind of insinuated in the phrase, and that is that everybody dies. That's just sort of implied by that. Let's grab the day. Why? Because we're going to die. God looks at it and understands the same thing, but he has a totally different perspective on it. The Bible has a lot to say about time. And about God's intention when he created it and gave it to me. So everybody turn with me to Ephesians 5 and verse 15. A cheer in the new year. I was going through my list of time and some kid over here hollered, hammer time. And I was like, how would you know about hammer? How would you know? Ephesians 5 and verse 15. Now, here's some really good news. We only have so much time. It just keeps grinding on. It won't stop for me or for anybody else. But here's the good news. Time can be redeemed. That's what this verse is telling us. So we start at verse 15 in Ephesians 5. Look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. So now we kind of have a good idea where Paul's going with this. He wants us to use our lives wisely, what God has given us wisely. Verse 16, making the best use of time because the days are evil. And I like the King James in this, and it's probably even a more accurate translation than this one, the ESV, making the best use of time. The King James says redeeming the time. that idea that I can ransom it. That's what the word means. That's what the Greek word means. I can buy it up. I can buy it back. I can rescue it from loss. So redeeming the time to bring it back from what it could have been, what might have been wasted in it. So making the best use of time, what Paul is saying is we're going to consider, if we're going to make the best use and redeem time, how many of you know that what that means is we're going to have to stop and think about it a little bit. We're going to have to consider this. We're going to have to consider what it is that Paul is trying to drive us into. See, we're accepting and understanding that time is God's invention. It's given to us and meant to give us a framework in which to live. Like time, like everything else he created, belongs to him. Does everybody understand that whatever he created belongs to him and ultimately will go back to him? See, that's a story that Paul is, the backstory that Paul is wanting to make sure that we understand. That we've only got this much, and we're going to redeem what we've got. Why? Why do we have to do that? Because he says the days are what? Days are evil. Now, I don't think anybody would disagree with that. I don't think it's ever been true when we could say, oh, the days aren't evil. What he's saying is there's nothing out there that is commending you to pursue God except God himself. There's nothing out there that wants you to live in this better mode. There's nothing out there that wants you to resist temptation. It offers you substitutions and things that would stand in opposition. Only God has something in this that causes me to live and makes the day and makes the time redeemable. See, that comes from something he puts on the inside of us and not something from the outside. Like I said earlier, we use time, if we use time at our own discretion, it's a way that we describe freedom. Oz Guinness said, freedom is not the permission to do what you like, but the power to do what you should. Want to read that again? Oz Guinness. Freedom is not the permission to do what you like, but the power to do what you should. That's what time is for, in order that I should do what I should. You got it? See, there's something in this that Paul is drawing us, trying to draw us in now into a list of how this is going to happen. These powerful views that the Bible has on time can become mine. But I have to understand a few things about how redeeming time works. See, here's one bit, before we go on to the next verse, here's a bit of good information. Not only will God redeem the day that I'm in, and the future that I'm going into. How many of you can honestly say when you met Jesus, he redeemed your future? You are going to have a different future than the one you've ended up with. How many of you would agree this one's better? Yeah, it's always better with Jesus. But here's the good news. He can also redeem your past. See, he exists outside of time. I exist in time. It's no problem for him to go back to the point of my hurt and harm and abuse. It's no trouble for him to go back to the place where I made a bad decision and then begin to heal whatever it was that was driving that. Whatever it was that happened to me, he can heal. Why is this so important? Because if I've been deeply hurt in the past, we react to it. It begins to put things in our lives, things like fear, things I have a good list here somewhere. bitterness. Things like anger. Things like secrecy. things that began to become a part of my life because of something I'm trying to compensate for or trying to hide or whatever my past. When he goes and heals that, I no longer have to deal with it, because here's the problem. I take my day trying to solve a problem, and you know this is the truth. I reach back into my past because it's become part of me, and I pull something up and I stick it into the formula that has nothing to do with me solving the problem. I'm trying to come to a conclusion, and I pull back and I grab fear, and I stick fear into my conclusion. And how many of you know, with the wrong components, you always get the wrong answer? Huh? So that's why he wants to heal your past, and why your past becomes so important, so that he can take care of it. So it's no longer what it was. It's no longer leaking the toxic material into you, and you start to find your new identity in Christ. Not in your past, not in the hurt, not in your upbringing, not in a failure, not in a bad choice. I don't find my identity there anymore. I find it in him. So when he heals me, I no longer have to throw any of those things into my new life, because they don't mean a thing anyway. He redeems my past. But that makes it so much better to get into my future. See, the present could be redeemed by submitting this freedom that I have, that I think my time is mine and I can do with it as I please, but I can submit it to him as a gift. Even going to work becomes this gift. Greg mentioned that series on work. If you didn't hear that and you go to work, I would really encourage you to go back and listen to that. It was wonderful. That was a series about redeeming time, about making the best use of what God has given us. Romans 13, 11. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. That's redeeming the time. It goes on. Redeeming the time has to become a way of life. It's not a thing I do on Sunday morning, but a way that I live. Verse 17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of God is. All right. Here's how redeeming the time begins to really work in the kingdom of heaven. It comes when you know the will of God, and it's implied, and you do it. Are you with me? See, Paul is just telling them, listen, the key to redeeming the time is knowing the will of God. It's a real shortcut. I don't have to mess around trying to figure it out. Misspending my time that's given us is foolish. We can know what the will of God is. See, like I said earlier, In the communion moment, that God is immediate. We feel sometimes like he's distant, like he's far off, like he's unreachable. He's not hearing me. I've got to do something bigger. I've got to do something louder in order to get his attention. Now, the whole story that we just preached with when you took communion was, God is here now, right here in my life, in my heart. And I can know him as intimately and as well and as deeply as I allow him to work in my life. That's on me. He's willing. The will of God can be known. How? Jeremiah 29, 13. Seek me, and you will find me if you search for me with all your heart. That's a great verse for a fridge. See, you seek him. Why do you seek him? When you seek something, when you're going for it, how many of you have lost that thing? I don't know. Maybe it's just the size of my house. But we lose stuff. And then when you need it, you don't know. How many of you know? You don't know it's lost until you need it. And then you look, and you look at nothing else. You can't stop looking. You got other things. There's stuff boiling on the stove. There's children crying in the other room. But you got to find whatever it is you need. You get the idea? Seek. This is why he says, seek me. You will find me. Jesus says, ask, knock, seek. I'm at the other end of that. I can know the will of God. The best way of redeeming the time is to find out what he wants in the first place and then do that. See what he's saying here? Knowing the will of God. Begin the conversation. Begin the conversation with him that creates change. Start talking to him this year. If you haven't been talking to him except to tick off your list, start talking to him. He wants you to know him. He wants you to know his will. Best way to start this, best way to use your time is concentrating on pursuits that keep us moving in God's direction. What kind of things can I do that I know all about? What can I do that keeps me moving in his direction? Speak to me. Speak to me, oh, Life Church. You know the answer. Pray. Read your Bible. It's in here. See, this is the thing that helps me create a framework. You don't want me to be the only interpreter that you've got. Pastor Dave, none of us want to be the interpreters for you of everything you need to know. This book is available to you, and you should be in it. How many of you have read all the way through the Bible? Started at the beginning and went all the way to the end. Hey, not bad. Not bad. What's wrong with the rest of you slackers? Yeah. I mean, I get it. The book does have Leviticus and it's got Lamentations. Now, there's one to cheer you up, you know. But I would encourage you, because this will tell you, he will never work outside the framework he has put in this book. You want to know the will of God? Well, why don't you find out what the framework that the will's going to fit in? Why don't you know? Pray. Pray's not, as I said, it's not just checking off your list. Pray is talking to him when you're upset, when you're feeling good, when you need something, when you don't need something. Prayer is about getting to know him. It's about as much listening as it is about talking. That's available to you. That's yours as a believer in the Holy Spirit's presence in your life. That is yours. Why would you ignore a gift like that? Let's just start there. And then it's amazing as you get to know him in the framework that he's provided, and that thing becomes more intimate and more personal, and you begin to know him better and you know him by name and you know him by character. It's amazing how the will of God for you begins to fit so well into that picture that's forming. See, I'd love to be, this should be a whole nother sermon, and I can't go into it too much here. However, you know, but redeeming the time by knowing his will is the only way you can ever bring your best to the game. You got that? It's the only way. When I know what he wants and I do it, do you understand that will have been the very best use of any time that I have? Anything that I could give, what does he want from me? And I will do that, and when I do that, I will have redeemed the time. Won't I? Makes sense. See, but I've got to know what that is. See, redeeming the time is this. Talk about the will of God. Redeeming time is discerning the moment. It's kind of figuring out the time. It's kind of interesting. There's a great portion of scripture in First Chronicles. If you read all the way through the Bible, you'll get to First Chronicles eventually. It's a great story. It's telling about David, and it was telling about his mighty men. It's a list of his mighty men. And it lists a couple of guys in there that says they understood the times. That was their spidey power. You know, that's why he needed them. Because somehow they could look at their world and they could say, this is what God is doing right now. And then when you discern what God is doing, see, we have gotten where we rely on pundits and interpreters and all kinds of people, even within the church, to tell us what the times are. You know what I need? I need to know about the times tomorrow right here in Reno, Nevada. because that's where the will of God's got to be worked out in my life. And so I don't want somebody someplace else to always be telling me what the times are about. God knows what the times are about. Jesus was constantly on the disciples. He was on the Pharisees, on the Sadducees, because they didn't get the moment they were living in. Isn't that right? You can look at the sun in the morning and go, oh, this is going to be a fair day, or there's a storm coming, but you can't tell the time, he said. Well, why would anybody say that about that when we have living within us the presence of the Holy Spirit? I would love to spend hours on that. Let me keep going. Redeeming the time means walking in sync with God's Spirit. Verse 18, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Okay, so we need to know the will of God in order to redeem the time. Now he's telling us there are things you can do that are a waste of time, but you do need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's not a suggestion. He's saying, when I came into your life, when you opened your life to me, and you said, Jesus saved me, you didn't understand all the benefits that were coming with that, nor did you understand all the challenges. But when you asked me in, I came in the form of the Holy Spirit. I came into your life. And that's God himself in presence, in fact, being God in you. Now be filled with that presence. Let it take over. Let it begin to drive. Let him become the force in your life. Don't spend yourself on imprudent, dissipating, or needless pursuits. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, God's agents of power and change. It's a commandment. Be filled with the Spirit. Ask him for it. I pray daily. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Sometimes that doesn't feel like much to me personally. Other times, there's a significant presence. I don't look for that. I just know he says, be filled. And so I open my life and say, Lord, fill me. I can't do the will of God. Therefore, I can't redeem time if the Holy Spirit is not the power. What good is it if I know the will of God, but I don't have the power to do it? You got it? That's who the Holy Spirit is. That's why he's here. That's why he's in you, and he wants to be active. So Paul is just saying, listen, quit wasting your time with this other stuff that will not change anything for eternity. But instead, let your life begin to reflect this presence that you come. Let me read this scripture in 1 Corinthians 2. It's just too good to miss. Verse 6, it says, yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it's not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age. They don't know what they're doing, who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret, a hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They wouldn't have done what they did. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thought except the spirit of the person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thought of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, listen to this, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. He wants you to know his will for your life. And the Holy Spirit is the agent, the person that makes that happen. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. God's got plenty of room for recreation and rest. Sometimes it is his will to go to Seattle and see your granddaughter. I should have brought a picture of her. She's beautiful. Maybe I will for the next. You'll have to stay for the next one if you'll see her. Nobody has yet to say, oh, Grandpa, she looks just like you. I know it. But if I show you the picture, she has a little tiny gap right here. She's got her two front teeth, and she's got this little gap, and I'm going, that's mine. And when she's older, I'm going to show her how to use it. I could spit water. When I was a kid, I love the gap in my teeth. I could spit water all the way across the hall and hit a kid, and they'd never know where it came from. So I can't wait to show her what God really gave that to her for. He's into recreation and rest. Let me wind it up with this. Paul goes on in 19, redeeming the time includes doing this, walking it out with others. Okay? I do not do this alone. I don't do it separate from him, but I do not do it separate from you either. Everything God has intention to use you, his will in your life includes somebody else. It's meant to make somebody else's life better. What God does for me makes life better for you. All right? That's how this is supposed to work. So let's read that next. We're going to read through 21. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Isn't that a great group of scriptures? He says, we're going to sing. Now, this is not something we're going to do, but I want to see a few of you after church, as we go out here in this thing out here that substitutes for a lobby for us. We're going to have a lobby one of these days, that big one. I want you to grab someone by the arms and look them straight in the eye and sing a song to them. That's what it says, Randy. You go first, man. And you just, he says that because that's what it says. Sing to one another psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts, Lord. He's saying, listen, we got to do this together. We do not live separate from one another. In fact, this one activity that he's talking about that's exemplary is that we worship together. Worship is really cool. It's not just something that sets up a good feeling so the preacher doesn't come to those grim faces as you walk in the morning. It's cold. You had to get up, had to drive to church, had to put on not the clothes you wanted to wear, but these other things. You know, that's not what it's for. Worship works like a weather vane. When the wind blows, the weather vane turns into the wind's direction. Worship always turns us in God's direction. Never turns us away. It turns us into, and it heads us in the right direction. Worship is always about the good things that God did. I paid close attention to the words this morning that were in our worship because of what I'm telling you right now. And I went, this is good. I needed to hear this. There's another mountain. Oh, great. You've removed mountains before. I got another mountain. How many of you know that's kind of how it always works in the Christian life? Wow, got around the mountain. Oh, there's another mountain. Yeah. Ooh, there's another one on the other side of that. See, but you remove the mountains. I believe you're going to do it again. See, that's praise. I'm beginning to articulate something that I might not feel, might not even be gelling well in my head, but I'm saying something that's the truth. This is the reality. I'm speaking life. I'm speaking something that God's intent and God's goodness and God's love for me and the fact that God has a will for me, I begin to speak that out of my life and out of my mouth. But what Paul is saying is, yes, but we do that together. And together we begin to reach this place where God creates this grateful heart. Do you guys know that you can do anything when you have a grateful heart? Ungrateful people are just hard to be around. People who have, they've got it coming, you know. We live in an age of this, of just, no. If you got what you got coming, if any of us got what we've got coming, none of us could stand. No, this is about the goodness of God. And a grateful heart is that one that's always turned in his direction because we know where the benefits came from. Redeem the time. Redeem the time. It's about knowing his will. It's about letting the Holy Spirit be the source of that and empowering that. And it's about doing it together. That's what Paul is writing. Father, we bless you. We thank you for this group of people we call ourselves Life Church. Lord, doing our specific assignment in this place. But God, help us to be those people who redeem the time. We're not just here for nothing. We're not just here, Lord, to make ourselves feel a little better about the day or the week ahead, or Lord, to get over the week we just passed or the year that we just passed. Lord, we're here to see the time purchased, bought and used for you. You, the creator of time. Let the time be given back to you, Lord, as we serve you according to your purposes and your will. And we give ourselves, Lord, again to the full knowledge that the kingdom of heaven is here now and that you've got something you want to get done. Lord, thank you for including us in that process. Lord, we bless you and we honor you. Encourage and strengthen and heal this people, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.